Hello and welcome to See You on the Trail podcast, the one and only podcast that talks about racing, off-road, and anything that involves dirt. My name is Hitch. I'll be taking care of you today, and let's just get into it. Well, first off, I want to let you know, guys, thanks for watching with whatever platform you're on. I want to tell you where this is actually available. You can go to Anchor Podcast. Anchor Podcast is the main source, is where we start from. And then we also have Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. You can go to Spotify and find us. Breaker, Overcast, Pocket Cast. And then we're also on YouTube, Facebook, and also Radio Public. My name is Hitch. Like I've said, I've been in the industry since 2007. Been doing a lot of stuff. I've always done stuff with Ultra 4, Dirt Riot, also events with the Unlimited Off-Road Expo. And I've been in the industry long enough that I feel that we need to basically grow the industry and build it up to what it is, what it actually needs to be. If you haven't checked out my other podcasts, make sure you check them out. I mean, we do interviews with racers such as Casey Shearer and a few other ones that we're working on. Should have a podcast coming out real soon with Shannon Campbell, Derek West, and if we can talk to old Kenny Hollywood, Mr. Kenny Forbes, we're going to get that done. But we've also got interviews with park owners such as Brandon Powell with Southern Missouri Off-Road Ranch coming up soon. We've also got interviews with shop owners, people that actually build stuff, manufacturing companies. Today, you're actually going to hear on the podcast, you're going to hear Armando Verdugo. He's a good friend of mine. I've known him since 2011. We met at KOH he's the director of sales for Artec Industries. That they build trusses. They build all kinds of stuff. Check them out on artecindustries.com. Next on the list, I want to tell you about what we did this last weekend. We went to the Unlimited Off-Road Expo in Fort Worth, Texas. It was in the infield of Texas Motor Speedway. This would be our third year we've done it. And what we do is we put on the Racer's Lounge. I am the race sports director for Unlimited Off-Road Expo. And what we do is we bring in race cars that have an extra seat. And they give rides to anybody that wants one. We had a continual line all weekend long. It was awesome. We gave over 160 rides. Now, guys, this is not just a pony ride show. What we do is we take individuals that want to ride in a race car, and we take them, the racer picks them out, brings them over to the race car, tells them more about it, lets them know what they race, straps them in into 5-point harnesses, yes, with the submarine strap and everything, then puts them in that situation and takes them for a ride. Depending on the venue that we do, sometimes they can get a little bit more crazy. Sometimes they can't. It depends on who's in the seat as well. We gave a bunch of kids rides. We gave over 160 rides, just to give you guys an idea. The year before, we had 8 race cars, and they gave over 212 rides. And this year, we gave 106, but we only had, or I'm sorry, 160, but we were we only had 4 race cars. I do want to give a shout out to Anthony St. Clair, a team SCR. They came out and gave rides in their Cooper Tire buggy. It's called Miss Texas. They did that. And then Landon. Landon, he's a 5-year-old kid that has a little rock crawler. And Landon gave rides to people as well. And then also the guys from Kryptonite Customs came out and gave a couple rides in Big Booty Judy, and also the Cockroach, Aaron with the Cockroach. He gave a couple rides. Listen to that turbo spool up, was crazy. It's a bad rig. It's if you have never seen it before, I'm not a big fan of bouncing, but that rig is a sight to be seen if you've never seen it before. So we had a great time doing that. That was this last weekend. The next time we will be doing that is at the Nashville Off-Road Expo. At this point in time, I believe we'll still be doing that. That's May 3rd and 4th, I believe, is or 4th and 5th, one of the two. But it's the weekend of the 3rd. We'll be down there doing the same thing. Cassandra, the girl that takes care and signs all the waivers and everything like that, make sure everything's good. She'll be there with me. We'll be able to give you guys rides as well. Working on how many, what other rigs are going to be there, but I'm sure some of Team Indiana will be there. And then, I'm talking about maybe bringing a pro light out like I did last year, but we'll see. Anyway, we're still working on that merch, guys. I do have the hats out now, but, they're going back to people that have given me shirts and have basically helped me out, grow. So I give those, I'm giving those out to those. If there's an interest, please let me know on Facebook and YouTube. You guys can comment on this. So let me know what you think. Also comment and like it and tell me what you guys think about this podcast. Who would you like to see on the show? We would love to have that. But next up is the interview. We have Armando Verdugo from Artec Industries. He sits down and talks to us. He took about 30 minutes out of his time to talk to us about Artec. I talked to him about his personal life and how he has grown into love the off-road industry. I met him in 2011. We'll talk about that in the interview. But I'm going to go ahead and run off there. Let you guys go ahead and listen to that. And we will talk to you in a bit. Bye. Thank you. So today we're here with Armando Verdugo from Artec Industries. What's going on, guy?
Not much. How you guys doing?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. Just trying to get this podcast off its feet. I guess would be the best way to say it. We've done about, I think you're number 7 right now. So you were actually the second production shop that's been on the show. We've had a couple racers and stuff like that. So it's good to see you, man. Let's start from the beginning. How did you get into off-roading, and then tell us how you moved into working for Artec?
So basically since the birth, maybe, that's how I can best describe it. I mean, I always out in the dirt, always with bikes and motorcycles and that stuff. Being a kid, my parents bought me a Honda 50 for my 8th birthday, and I used to take it out and go in the hills behind the houses and get chased by the police on when I ride it on the street. You know, that typical 8-year-old stuff. And then it just kind of grew from there. Had a Toyota pickup when I was, I think it was 18, I got that. Listed on 36s, probably one of the biggest Toyota trucks out in Southern California at the time. Take it up and break it and fix it and start all over again.
Right. That's the.
Had that.
Go ahead.
It was just one of those toys, and it just kind of fit what I wanted to do, and it was me. It was kind of like my signature back then when I was about 18 to 21. I had it.
Gotcha. Yeah. Now I'll tell you what, I think I met you 2011 KOH. I believe that's when I actually met you. We were, and in fact, I'll never forget this because I met you through Ponce, Bongo.
Yes.
And have you heard from him? Is he still around?
I have not. And it was like 1 year he was around and big and doing crazy stuff, and all of a sudden the next year he was kind of gone.
Yeah, he did some big stuff, and then last I heard, I guess it was about 6 months ago, a friend of mine sent me a video, and he's like trying to do like run and gun videos, he's trying to make them into movies. That's the last I heard, and I don't know if he spent like 6 months in Norway, and then he'd spend 6 months in Guanajuato, Mexico, and then he'd go back and forth because his girlfriend lived in Norway. But I haven't heard from that guy in years. I hope he's doing all right. Knowing him, I don't even know if he's alive.
Yeah, I don't know. And I met him that same year. He was friends with why am I drawing a blank here right now?
I met him through Louis Keener from with Balls Out Motorsports. If that helps.
No, it was Dell and Stacy Albright.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay, I know Dell, yeah. Huh.
So, yeah, because I was out there and I had met them earlier in the year, and they were trying to get, I was working for a spare 4x4 at the time, and they were trying to get them to help with their stuff and this and this, so they were, like, always up and around talking to me, and we built a decent relationship. We had KOH, and we were hanging out with them, and they introduced me to Ponset that year. That's when I met him.
Yep. Yeah, we were drinking. Old Ralph Kuhler from Germany had some Opal, whatever the heck that stuff was, and we all had shots out of that bottle. And I don't know if I remember the rest of the night or not, but it was crazy.
Yeah, it was Ralph, and then Radnor was out there with that other fire water on.
Jeez, yeah. Those were good times back at KOH, back when it was little bitty. Now it's freaking huge.
Yeah, I don't even tempt you to go anywhere near the fire anymore.
So now you were working for what got you into the, what was your main whenever I met you, who were you working for at the time?
So I started working for a Spear 4x4, the Israeli company that was trying to break into the US market with their skid plate system. Skid plates and bumper line. I had been working selling research equipment or working in labs and fair analysis labs and selling research equipment, microscopes, automation and robotics. I've been doing that for probably 20 years. December of 2010, I got laid off when it was exactly 2009.
Yep.
It was right a year before that.
Yeah, I actually, 2008, I think I got laid off from 4Wheel Parts. I was working for them, and when that recession hit, it knocked a lot of people out.
Yeah. I went from selling $4 million a year in microscope equipment to selling 400,000 over the whole year. Come October, my wife's like, I gotta do something big. This is gonna be the end of this job. And sure enough, come the December 8th, right before Christmas, I got my papers, and I sat and thought about keeping in the industry and going back to doing that. And it was freaking great money, and I couldn't sneeze at any of that money ever.
Right.
But I didn't want to go back. I was just done. We had just been in Arizona a few years. I was really getting back into the off-road from not being involved in it for a number of years, and I was just ready to come back.
Cool.
So my wife and I just gave freaking cards out and said, okay, we'll take whatever job you can get. We'll struggle through it. We'll figure out what we need to do, and we'll grow from there. So I had to get a job making like $25,000 a year.
Wow.
Yeah, luckily we had just sold our house in California, moved to Arizona. We had a little cushion that we were able to live through. We made it work. She got a job, I got a job. We made it all the way through. Just made a few steps, and here we are.
Yeah, well, now I've been friends with you since about 2011. We see each other at all the shows and stuff. But you popped on to with Artec. When did you join Artec?
2014, February 2014.
Very cool. And you're basically director of sales, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, and tell everybody what is Artec and what do you guys design and do, and I mean what's the claim to fame for Artec Industries?
Oh, Artec started out just in a garage, and Artie was making he was working construction, and then he was an off-roader, so he was building battery boxes and some custom things here and there for local guys, and they're like, you need to make these and sell these, so they started making battery mounts for different battery sizes that were most common, and then that was just like a little trickle business when he was in the garage, and then decided that, you know what, we want to do more. So about 2010-ish, they hired Nate Price, and Nate came in and started with designing trusses and a lot of the components that go with our truss systems. And that's kind of like where we grew up, is in the truss market. Our tagline is in our tech we trust, and that's kind of like our root, and that's our homage to the root, is in our tech we trust.
Awesome. Well, very cool. Yeah, I noticed I've kind of did a little podcast research, and looks like you guys are doing a lot more than just axle trusses now.
Yeah. One funny thing is back 2011, I had known Nate from a previous employer that he had. And it popped up, and we saw it. I met him at a show, and I just got my JK. And they're like, hey, we're making this product for the Jeep JK. And it was the Axle Armor kit that was probably one of our breakout products back then that put Artec on the map. And my Jeep was actually their booth vehicle for about a year before I even worked, a couple years before I even worked for Artec. So I had this relationship already with the guys. And then from there, we just started going, okay, what is missing? What can we add? What can we change? And internally, we always say, what can we Artecify? And it's kind of like the internal joke between all of us. That has to be Artecify. So it's come across to the need to, we got the our big Articon JK in 2013. And it just became the ideal that we got to build this with our stuff and our tech applied. So came out with the Nighthawk one, started back then as a prototype. Belly Pen kind of started. Belly Pen is probably one of our biggest items for JK and JL that we're known for. And we put a lot of effort and testing and retesting and redesigning into the belly pen. And you hear anyone that uses and installs our belly pens is like, there's nothing like it on the market. It's the form, the fit, the finish, everything there is perfect. And that's the Artecification.
Gotcha. Yeah. No. Now, how many employees does Artec employ? I guess would be the right answer, the right question.
I think we fluctuate somewhere between 24 and 29.
Okay, so relatively a small company as far as employees, but a big company in the industry, because I've known Artec to be around for years, man. They've been around, and now do you guys have any sponsored racers that race KOH that are running your product?
Well, this year we kind of scaled back a little bit on the sponsor program. We're pushing more towards the body parts component, but the belly pen is still a big component of that. So my biggest sponsored racer out of KOH this year was Bill Schulte in his 4600 JL.
Very, very cool. Yeah, because I mean, that's your market right there, is the 4600 class. And then not to mention, I mean, racers really aren't, they're basically there for R&D more than anything. Very cool. Yeah, that's where I saw you, met you at KOH, and then you guys have been doing the expo for a few years. That's where I usually see you, but we're both working, so we don't say much. I just got done with the expo in Texas this year, and it was good. It was the rain kind of chased a lot of people away, the rain and the fog that we had. But it was still a good show. Are you coming to Nashville?
Yeah, I'll be in Nashville. So Saturday I start a 3-week road trip. So I leave Saturday morning to EJS, do the week at EJS, and then I have to hustle across to Daytona.
Jeez.
To set up for G Beach with Spiderweb Shade and BFG and Raceline and Rock Call and a couple other guys on the beach on Wednesday, and then we do Wednesday, Thursday on the beach, and then Jeep Beach, and then from there I'll drive around, probably go down to Miami, see a couple of dealers in Miami, and then drive up to Nashville, and then be set up for UR Nashville.
Yeah, no, that it, they've moved it from Nashville. I hope that everybody makes the move with us. I mean, because it's been in Louisville for so long. I'm hoping everybody makes that move to Nashville and it ends up being a real successful show.
Yeah, I'm hoping the market's a little bit better up there in Nashville to attract the crowd that they're really looking for.
Yeah, no, it should be really good. Now, I notice a lot of times I see a lot of RTEC with the RTEC truck or Jeeps. They all have the big logo on them. I'm actually looking at Artie's right now on the website. How many of those RTEC Jeeps do you guys have out there showing off your product?
So officially, we have two JLs and two JKs.
Cool.
And as far as the Jeep side, and then the 4Runner.
Oh, you do have the Toyota. Is that the Toyota 4Runner that you got when you were 18 or whatever?
No. Oh. There's a brand new 2000, the blue 2018 4Runner that's on our page. That's Will's, our director of R&D's personal vehicle.
Oh, okay, cool. Very cool. So, now Artie, I don't think I've ever actually met Artie. Maybe I have, but, just not in passing probably. And he started back in what it was, it said 2003. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he started in Tucson, Arizona, but then he moved. What was the reasoning for moving to Salt Lake?
They looked for a change. Both Nate and Artie, grew up in Tucson area. Lived there all their lives, and they were just like, you know, we want something different than just brown dirt to look at all the time, which isn't what Arizona's about, but that's kind of like their ideal. That's what they were looking at. So they did the East Coast tour before I took over the East Coast side. Nate and Artie did this tour and went across the country, and then they came back, and on the way back, they stopped in virtually every state from Texas west.
Nice.
Looking for a suitable location to move because they wanted to just change to get out of Tucson and find a larger metropolis that could cater to both our material needs, the size of the business. Where we were down in Benson before we moved to Utah, I think that building was maybe 4,500 square feet, but 2,000 of it was office space.
Wow, that was a small building then.
At the time we were contracting out the laser work, so we get laser would come in, it would fill the place up, and then everything would get fixed. Box and then shelves would be overfilling, and then we had a much longer cycle back then to getting products back on the shelf because we didn't have much shelf room and we weren't cutting anything ourselves. So definitely it's a very different model in the business than we were back then, but we had to grow up and get our own laser. So the move to Salt Lake was decided, and we got a building that was big enough to hold the laser. Get our press brake in there, all of our machine equipment, a large enough area for storage and inventory, and of course some office space.
Yeah. Now, how big is the facility at Salt Lake now?
We're currently on the ground about 13.5.
Wow. So you guys almost tripled it. That's awesome. Or you did triple it. That's awesome.
Yeah, we tripled in size. But as soon as we moved everything in, got all the new equipment in, we were already shoehorned in. So there's been a new gazebo that's been built in there. We've torn out some walls, taken out some other area. So we're maximizing the space. With the gazebo, I think we're probably close to about 19,000 feet of floor space.
That's awesome. Now, you guys are known for the belly pan. You guys are known for the trusses. What is probably your best seller from RTEC?
The axle armor and trusses are still the biggest thing, biggest seller right now. The axle swap kit also tend to be a big seller.
Really? Okay, cool. And now you guys are always doing R&D. I know that because you guys dabble in the race sports area. You got something in the pipe new for R-Tech that's coming out?
We have a ton coming out. A lot of stuff that I can't talk about.
Gotcha.
There's a lot of new products. There's a lot of new redesign. 2018 was tough with material costs and overall cost of doing business skyrocketed.
Really?
In 2018. So we looked through. We made some changes internally. How we built things. How we did things. We looked at slow movers, big money makers that we needed to really push, and then take off that slow mover side. And we lost off a large chunk of items off of our sheet.
Gotcha. So you're concentrating more on the stuff that's selling well and doing good.
Yeah, and a lot of it was, we looked at it, it was the core stuff that we actually were doing a lot of. And there was stuff that our competitors were doing the same thing, and we just weren't pursuing that market, and we weren't known for it. So why continue to make it if it's just on the shelf and occasionally someone clicks on it and buys one here and there? It was wasting space. It was wasting time, wasting money. We're trying to get more efficient. We're trying to knock pricing down where we could, and not have to raise prices with the material price
right
increase.
Gotcha. Yeah, I noticed you do have on rtechindustries.com, you do have a liquidation page where you're liquidating a lot of that stuff and getting it kind of out of the warehouse so you guys can do more stuff with R&D and new products. So that's very cool.
Yeah. That's a big thing. Some of the newer vehicles, the JL came out, blistering out of the gate with sales and customers already wanting them like day one to do swaps and to do this and to do that. And we're just looking at it going, okay, who's going to spend money? The guy buying a set of tabs or the guy that needs a full kit that's $500? Where do we need to make our money?
Right. No, that makes complete sense. So, well, cool. Yeah, it looks like you got stuff. Go ahead.
Most DIY guys that are real DIY guys are cutting their own tabs and stuff at home anyway.
Right.
Really need it.
Yeah, it looks like you've got stuff for the JL, the JK, the TJ, the YJ, the ZJ, the XJ, the Toyota 4Runner, the Super Duty, and the Dodge Ram. So you guys have a pretty eclectic parts list. So that they can take care of that. That's very cool. Now, tell us, where can they get a hold of you and look at all this stuff? It's rtechindustries.com, but do you guys do social media as well?
Yeah, we do definitely do all the social media channels. All of them are R-Tech Industries, our R-Tech, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Google+, most all of them. I don't think we've created a Snapchat channel, but
I can't get into Snapchat for the simple fact is I know I put all my eggs in one basket and I know it's going to be gone in 24 hours. So I really don't, I can't see the benefit in Snapchat, you know, except for crazy pictures that you don't want anybody else to see in 24 hours.
Yeah. And that was kind of our deal was, okay, who has any sort of, documentation that Snapchat has any viability to on the business side. And I couldn't find anything other than like a Pepsi or a Monster or those companies that are just boom, flash you and go and you get the store. No one's buying an axle truck based off of flash.
Yeah, exactly. You're exactly right on that. That's why I've got a personal Snapchat, but most of it's just about my dog. Dog doing stupid junk and that's all I ever mess with. But cool. Yeah, so you can just find everybody, rtechindustries.com, and then you can also find them on YouTube. You guys got a YouTube channel, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.
Yep. All that good stuff.
Well, is there anything that you want to tell the masses about R-Tech, about what you guys got coming out?
We've got a lot of stuff, a lot of cool new designs. We have some innovative things that we're working on. We have some suspension products that are coming out, aluminum length and ends and joints to kind of build your own. A lot of times people look at a lift kit and go, oh, this lift kit comes with shocks. I didn't want those shocks. But I really like those cool arms. So we're not doing that. We're going to offer arms. We'll have some add-ons here and there that you can do, but we're not going to push a kit. Just more and more parts for the JL. We're really looking forward to getting the Gladiator in our hands to do some cool stuff with the Gladiator.
Right.
And more one-ton swap stuff that really gets some of these guys doing a lot more hardcore stuff with these newer Jeeps.
Very cool. Well, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for taking the time out of your day to do this. This is kind of a new deal. I did notice that Ultra 4 has started doing a podcast of sorts because they're not doing the live feeds now. So maybe they're stepping into the realm of podcasts as well. But I believe we're one of the only ones doing what we're doing. So hopefully it takes off and we can all reap the benefits of it.
That would be great. We definitely see a few more podcasts popping up lately in the off-road side. So good to see some movement in that direction. Hopefully it's all beneficial to everybody.
Yeah, well, cool, man. Well, Armando, I will see you in Nashville in about 3 weeks. And maybe we'll sit down and do a quick interview while we're there. I'm going to try to get my video camera out there and actually do something. Texas, I had my video camera stuff, and I didn't even get around to it because the Racers Lounge was going so nuts. But anyway, I appreciate the interview, man. And basically, check him out at rtechindustries.com, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter. Just look up RTech Industries. You'll be able to find him. Armando, you are the head sales director, correct?
Director of sales, yeah.
Yeah, director of sales. So, you'll probably be talking to him if you end up buying something from him. And Artie's out there all the time, too. So appreciate it. Thank you very much, man. And we'll holler at you later.
All right. Thank you, sir. Have a good day.
All right. Bye. All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Armando Verdugo. He is the director of sales for RTech Industries. You guys heard a little bit about it, about our history. We met back in 2011 and been friends ever since. We see each other at shows and we're both working at the same time. So we're like, hey, man, what's up? And that's all we do. But we actually got to sit down and talk, which is really cool. So Armando, it was good talking to you. Guys, remember, we are not just on the platform that you're listening to this on. We are on Anchor Podcast, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, Breaker, Overcast, Pocket Cast, YouTube, Facebook, and then also Radio Public. You guys check us out on all those. Give us a thumbs up. Give us the like. Give us whatever, and share it. Share the podcast with them. I believe we are one of the only podcasts that talks racing, Ultra 4, Dirt Riot, Bouncing. We talk about it all, along with talking to industry leaders such as RTech or Green Country Off Road, personal small shops that are building some of these rigs that are just basically badass. So make sure you do that. Make sure you go ahead and like us, share us, do everything. I'm basically kind of spitting in the wind on this. Everything I do is pretty much free form. So if you enjoy it, please take care of us and like us. That's the easiest thing to do. Just give us a thumbs up. We do have some merch coming up right now. I've got the hats done. I've been giving them out to people that have been taking care of me in the past. Since 2007, I've got a closet full of t-shirts and hats and stuff like that. And I'm basically paying those guys back the way I can. If there's any interest in the hats and you can look at the picture, if there's any interest in it, let us know. We'll go ahead and buy a bulk amount of them and do it. But at this point in time, we're just kind of keeping it on a smaller scale. As many of you know, See You on the Trail is actually just a second job for me, and honestly, just a passion that I enjoy the off-road racing industry. So off-road racing, off-road wheeling, off-road in general, anything that has to do with dirt and motors, I'm in. So, but that is, that's there. We will be going in May 3rd and 4th. We'll be in Nashville at the Unlimited Off-Road Expo. We really enjoyed it this last weekend. That's where we were this last weekend. We gave over 160 people rides. And I mean everything from a five-year-old kid to a 70-year-old woman. It was just, it was awesome. We, that's one thing that we do is we create smiles with the Racers Lounge. So, but for those of you that don't know who See You on the Trail is, and I use See You on the Trail, and I use it as a hashtag also, S-Y-O-T-T. It's a company that's been around since 2007. We showcase trails and off-road vehicles along with racing. I do anything from video production to social media moderation to wrap design to event announcing. I've done, and in fact, one of my big ones coming up is a bull riding event. I'm actually going to be doing the video for them, and I've been doing the social media for them for the past year. For those of you that don't know the history of myself, I actually rode bulls for about 6 years and shattered my elbow, broke my nose, and decided it was not the sport for me. So anyway, but we do podcasting now. So I hope you guys enjoy it. If you liked it, share it, do what you can. Upcoming interviews we've got going on. Brandon Powell from Southern Missouri Off-Road Ranch. We've got the Campbell family, Campbell Motorsports, Waylon, Shannon, and Bailey. We're going to try to get them all together. We were planning on having Axel and Marvin Stammel do a podcast with us at the event this last weekend, but man, time just got away from all of us, and we weren't able to do it. I didn't get home till Sunday evening, like at 9:45. Time got away from us. We couldn't do the what we were planning on doing. So it is what it is. We'll get Axel and Marvin once they get back, and I think Marvin's in Moab right now. How many of you are going to EJS or have been to EJS? Because, I mean, honestly, whenever this airs, it's actually going to be over with. I would love to go to Moab. Have not been there yet. So that's another one on my bucket list. But the next one I've got coming up, Kenny Forbes is going to do a interview with me. Hopefully we can get him on the show and have that old redneck talking. That old backwoods redneck, good boy talking. He's got two race cars in the pipe right now, and we'll see when those are going to be done. We'll talk to him about that. But anyway, thank you guys. Don't forget 4th and 5th Nashville, Tennessee at the Unlimited Off-Road Expo. We'll be there, and then also June 14th we'll be at the Holly EFI Clash with Crossbar at Crossbar Ranch in Davis. One of my favorite parks, mainly because it's only about 45 minutes away from me. But anyway, well, thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Don't forget to like us and share us. And make sure you go over and like Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter on all of that for us so we can all stay connected and be communicating together. If you have a suggestion as far as a interview or if you want to talk about something else, just let us know and we'll be able to take care of you. I appreciate it. My name is Hitch with See You on the Trail. Have a beer for me. Enjoy yourself. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of the See You on the Trail podcast.